And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Game Notes Podcast. I'm Dave DeFore. I'm back from vacation. Tony Jones is here. What's up, Tony? I missed you last week.
Where did you go for vacation?
I went to my friend's house in Florida.
What part of Florida were you in?
I was in Destin. It's pretty nice, man. I got rained out half the week, but you know, it's Florida, so it's going
to
rain.
I mean, it rains every day in Florida.
Yeah.
Right around from anywhere between noon to three, there's a thunderstorm in Florida.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're really lucky, you get a supercell. Those are fun.
Did you get any beach time?
You know, so the water was not quite warm enough to swim in. I did go in like to my knees or whatever. I did a lot of walking on the beach. It didn't hang. I'm not much of a beach hanger. If I'm hanging on the beach, that water has got to look like pool water. But I did walk on the beach a lot. I probably walked like 5 or 6 miles on the beach. It was good. It was nice, man. It was relaxing.
Did you go to a club?
What? A club?
Yeah.
No. Do I seem like a club guy to you, Tony?
I mean, listen.
I'm a bar guy. I'm a bar guy.
You could have been on South Beach, you know, clubbing.
No, wait, hold on. So I was on the Alabama coast. I'll clear that up. All right. I was on the Alabama coast. I wasn't in Miami. I was on the Alabama coast. The water was nice and green. It was beautiful. But no, I was did not go to any clubs.
You seem like a guy who will wear a tight muscle shirt.
You are insane, Tony.
And unbutton the shirt at the top. You know, your chest hairs are out and you got a gold chain, 7 gold chains.
Gold chain?
Yes.
What? Tony, all right. Tony, we've hung out before. You've seen me out at a bar.
We've taken pictures together.
I know.
We've hugged for the camera.
Do I seem like the kind of guy that's wearing overly tight clothes?
I'm just saying.
I mean, maybe I'm showing off the chest hair a little bit sometimes. Anyway.
You might want to show off the chest hair.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm just saying. Welcome to your Utah Jazz really Game Notes podcast.
The most important thing there is that I'm not really into clubs. But I do like bars. Yeah. Okay. Should we talk about the Jazz?
Yeah, we
are they interesting
to talk about the Jazz?
All right, let's start with.
I got a question for you.
Oh, I was going to ask you for an update on Donovan Mitchell first.
No, forget
before
Donovan
we get
Mitchell.
To that.
No.
Okay. All right.
If you're the Utah Jazz, you are Dennis Lindsay, Dave. You are Dennis Lindsay. No, you're Quinn Snyder. Who has more control over this one, Quinn Snyder?
I'd say Quinn Snyder.
Okay, so you're Quinn Snyder. Do you want the number one seed or do you want the number two seed?
I think you want the number one seed because home court throughout the playoffs is going to be important. And in particular, I think for Utah, being able to play at home 4 out of 7 games if they make the conference finals, that matters. So I think they want the one seed. They're going to be able to handle, and I keep making this joke about
how Utah. But that means you're going through the Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, you're going to have to go through somebody. Right? So it's either going to be the Lakers or the Clippers.
I said that on Twitter last night.
Or the Suns.
You got flamed for it.
Well, okay. But the people flaming you just don't understand how it works. And maybe you don't want to play the Lakers. But do you want to play the Clippers? I don't know. Do you want to play the Suns? Probably.
Okay. So I'm going to answer this for you. I don't know whether you want to play the Lakers or the Clippers because you look at the Lakers and obviously LeBron James and Anthony Davis, those are 2 of the top 5 players. In the league, LeBron James is the best player in the league, yada, yada, yada. They got the best defense in the league. But the Clippers are playing better than anybody in the league right now.
Pretty much.
The other thing that would scare me with the Clippers is they are probably, if the Jazz are the best 3-point shooting team in the league, the Clippers probably number 2. And if you're the Jazz and the Lakers right now, your series comes down to whether you can trade the 2s and keep them off the line for your 3s. Against the Clippers are going to be able to match that firepower from beyond the arc. And they're going to be able to score 2s because of Kawhi and Paul George. So I don't know if there's a road easier traveled there. I think that the Lakers and the Clippers, it's the same team. It's the same challenge. They're on the same tier to me.
I worry about getting a little too cute. You know what I mean? Like, do you want to play around with tanking to the 2 seed? Now, Phoenix would, I think, have a similar thought. They probably don't want to run into the Lakers either, especially if Anthony Davis looks great when he comes back. I think nobody's worried about LeBron, funnily enough, me included, but kind of worried about AD. I don't know, man. I'm with you. I think Utah should go for the one seed. I think that's the move.
I'm agreeing.
If you play the Lakers, so be it. You have to beat somebody at some point.
You have to beat somebody.
And you're not going to play him in the first round. You might get Steph Curry. The Warriors are not going to win that series, but Steph Curry might get hot and maybe you go six. And that's not great. Utah, they need to be very careful, especially because of the Donovan Mitchell injury. He's coming back, I'm assuming, right before the playoffs.
I think Donovan Mitchell will be back sometime within the next 10 days.
Okay. But it's still an ankle injury.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Tony, you may not be aware, but a lot of my longtime listeners know this. I'm a truther when it comes to ankle injuries. It's why I'm worried about LeBron to a certain degree, but LeBron has proven himself to just be, just a different guy.
I'm not worried about LeBron
but
at all.
Normal players.
I think LeBron's kind of milk. I mean, I don't want to say milking. I think LeBron
he might be resting.
Is resting.
Yeah. He's playing 4D chess on us. Yeah, I've thought about that too. But with Donovan Mitchell as a normal guy, right? Like a normal NBA player. I do worry about the ankle and coming back too soon. And, is he going to be hampered by the ankle? Is he going to be diminished? Do they need to worry about the increased chance of injury? Yes, absolutely. High ankle sprains, they take a while to heal. This isn't
stop you there. This is not a high ankle sprain.
It wasn't a high ankle sprain.
It's a low ankle sprain.
It's a low ankle sprain. Okay, they still take time to heal. All right, but I am corrected there. So not as long. I was thinking about LeBron. He had the high ankle sprain. But it does take a while and it does have diminishing effects on other parts of your body and your game. Now, with that being said, we know that sports science has come a long way, and I'm sure that Utah is not going to get him out there too early. They've got a nice cushion, and I don't think that they would be gunning for the one seed and putting Donovan Mitchell's health at risk to get it.
Well, they're not going to rush him back. There's no way they're going to rush him back. And listen, if the Jazz fall to the number two seed, but it means that they're healthy and it means that they're fresh, they're ready for that. They're prepared for that. They're fine with it. And they want the number one seed, but they don't want the number one seed at the cost of their overall health.
They're 26-3 at home right now, right? Like, if you want to just be very, very simple about this, they're 26-3 at home and they're 18-12 on the road. Paints the picture pretty well. Not that they're a bad road team, because 18-12 is good, but 26-3, I mean, that's an excellent home record.
I will say two of those three losses are to Phoenix and, they didn't lose to the Clippers. They beat the Clippers at home. So wait a minute, they lost to Phoenix, they lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they lost to the Washington Wizards at home.
Yeah. And you're going to lose games occasionally.
Yes.
I like them at home a lot. I think they should go for that one seed. Also, if I can be a little philosophical here, tanking for seeding sucks. I don't like it. I don't particularly like tanking anyway, but I at least understand organizational tanking, developing young players, etc. I really don't like the thought, and I'm probably going to get made fun of by people who think that they're too smart about basketball. But I do think that as a guy who watches the NBA, as a, sports fans generally, I don't want to see anybody lose on purpose or, rest guys to lose games on purpose for playoff jockeying. Just play the games in front of you and try to win. That's it.
So if you're a Laker perspective, and obviously you get LeBron James back and you get Anthony Davis back, let's say everybody's healthy, everybody's fresh, it's still not an easy road, because you have to go through Denver, and that means you're playing at elevation without home court advantage.
Yep.
If and when you beat Denver, you're playing the Jazz at elevation without home court advantage. That's not the easiest road ever.
No. Nobody in the West has an easy road. This is the thing. Nobody is sneaking into the finals out of the West. barring injury. I mean, Denver's going to have to play everybody. Everybody's going to have to play Denver. Same with the Clippers, the Suns, the Lakers. I mean, even if you look, like, do you want to play Damian Lillard in the first round? Right now, the Clippers would play the Blazers.
The Blazers were the last hope for somebody, quote unquote, getting an easy road to the conference finals, right? Because if the Blazers had eclipsed the Lakers for the 5 seed, they push the Lakers to 6, they make the Lakers and the Clippers play in the first round, and then, you know, they somehow beat Denver without Jamal Murray in the first round, then you're looking at the top seed getting Portland in the second round, which is infinitely more desirable than the other team getting the Los Angeles team. But since that's not happening, and since the Lakers are probably going to be in the 5 and the Clippers are probably going to 3, those guys are on opposite sides. And that means there is no easy road. You are going, if you are Phoenix, if you are Utah, if you are any other team, you're going to most likely 95% have to go through one of the LA teams just to get to the conference finals. So there's no easy road. There's no easy way out.
Even Memphis, like, they could play Memphis in the first round.
And they have Jaren Jackson back.
Right. It's just the West is so tough. I think you're going to psych yourself out if you start playing the game of, well, we don't want to face this team in the second round. Look, Utah has been awesome all year trying to win every game. Just do that. It seems like it's working pretty well. Right. And trust your own process.
Trust your own process and trust your team. You're right. 44-15 for a reason.
You're not the Nuggets. You didn't just lose your second best player to a season-ending injury, right? Like, yes, Donovan Mitchell is out for a little bit, but it is not a serious injury. He's going to be back. You don't need to go, you know, there is no rearranging that needs to happen. I just think that they just need to keep playing and taking the time here while Donovan Mitchell's out to try some stuff. Feel free to try some stuff out, but they should still be trying to win games. And they mostly are. I mean, they're 6-4 in their last 10. That's pretty good.
Yes.
If you win 60% of your games all season, you're a playoff team. So, you know, it's not like they're struggling right now. I could see if they were playing like they were exhausted, maybe you start, all right, well, we're going to take a few losses here, do some scheduled rest. I know they did that the day after Donovan Mitchell went down. You know, everybody sat. But I think that this team has done pretty well all year managing minutes. It doesn't seem like anyone has an outsized workload. They've done really, really well at avoiding injuries. And then when guys are injured, I think they've done a really good job of easing them back. I wouldn't mess with anything.
You know, and they've actually looked pretty spry. I thought they played a heck of a game against
Rudy has a burst right now, by the way.
Rudy's been, there's going to be more, there's going to be more on Rudy Gobert. I've got something coming.
Are you writing the MVP case for Rudy Gobert?
I can't confirm or deny that. I will be writing something major on Rudy Gobert, but I can't confirm or deny what the gist of the story is going to be, but it's going to be something that makes the front page of The Athletic.
Should we talk about this for a second? Because there is a little bit of, like, we're at the point of the year where usually we're looking at the playoffs, right? And March Madness has just ended or whatever, but we've got a few more weeks left. And I think that we're in that part of the news cycle where the only thing that we have to talk about is the MVP. Marcus Thompson wrote the great Steph Curry story. I know you read it.
I read everything about Marcus.
Me too. Me too. And that's great. But, like, I don't think Steph Curry should really be in the MVP conversation. He's having a great season. They're not winning. And I think that that's a good argument for maybe including Rudy in that conversation. He's not the MVP, but is he a guy who we could say, you know, 5 or 6 in the MVP race? Maybe. I mean, when you look at it, if they're the one seed in the West.
I will say this. I think the Ben Simmons propaganda is cute, but Rudy Gobert should be the unanimous defensive player of the year.
And I agree with you there, because Rudy Gobert doesn't get to play with Joel Embiid.
There is not a single metric analytically that does not point without question to Rudy Gobert being the defensive player of the year. Not one. So, I mean, I basically think that
that's a dunk. That's a slam dunk, literally. Yeah.
Listen, I've said this before across, you know, various platforms, but I think Rudy Gobert, Joel Embiid, and Nikola Jokic this year, all three of those guys deserve so much credit for making the center position in general relevant again, because all three of those guys have just been just dominant. All three of those guys.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you look around the league a little bit, and now I know we're getting sidetracked, because I have a soft spot for bigs. I just love them. That aesthetic, the old like 80s and early 90s aesthetic, I love that. Olajuwon yes. facing up. So DeAndre Ayton right now is my favorite player to watch for numerous reasons. But think about the game that Ayton played against Gobert a few weeks ago. Even he has elevated his game this year. Yes. So bigs generally are coming up. And I would think that we could point to Embiid, Jokic, and Gobert being so good and effective that teams are like, oh man, we have to develop these guys.
I really want to see a Rudy Gobert, Anthony Davis series. I want to see that.
A real one.
A real series.
How do you think it would go? Because there's this idea that AD is just going to, you know, I think people's perception of Anthony Davis is a little bit skewed still from the bubble where he shot like Kevin Durant from three. But there's this perception that Anthony Davis just pulls Gobert out of the paint and the Lakers get to just waltz to the rim, or they just shoot threes because Gobert is staying inside. I don't think it would work that way.
I don't think it would either. I think...
You think about how they pre-switch? I think Utah is prepared.
I don't think that Davis outside of the paint gives Gobert as many problems as Nikola Jokic does, because Davis is not as good a shooter as Jokic is. Jokic is an elite shooter, and Davis is a good shooter. There's a difference. Davis is an elite mid-range shooter, but Jokic is a darn near elite three-point shooter. So there's a difference. Now, the question would be whether Anthony Davis starts getting to the rim off the dribble against Rudy, whether, you know, that's the thing. But the thing that helps the Jazz is if you play Davis at the five. Yes, it helps the Lakers, but it also helps the Jazz because it eliminates a seven-footer from the floor, which means the Jazz have a better chance of rebounding the basketball.
And that's been tough for them. It's how Phoenix beat them.
You're right. That's exactly how Phoenix beat them. So if you keep Andre Drummond on the floor, then that means you're opening Drummond up to being exposed in pick and roll. And that means that the Lakers have to play drop big. They can't switch as much. And I just do not think you can consistently play drop big against the Jazz. They move the ball too well. They're too good in pick and roll. They're too good shooting and basketball transition from both corners. Yeah, it's just hard to play drop big. You got to switch against the Jazz. It's not as foolproof as it used to be because the Jazz have become a lot better at attacking switches. But it's still like, if you play drop big against the Jazz for a series, you're just going to give up 120 points a game because they're going to score against that drop big. You know, so if the Jazz and the Lakers play in a series, I just think that you're almost going to have to play Anthony Davis at the five.
I think that's the plan, though. You know, I mean, Anthony Davis was their center in the playoffs last year.
But that makes the Lakers smaller than they would have been against the Jazz.
You know, and then you get LeBron hitting the glass harder. Look, the Lakers, right. If LeBron and Anthony Davis are healthy, they're the favorites for me. I don't care how much time they missed.
I am with you.
Right?
100%.
LeBron is still the best player in the league.
Right.
And that matters.
100%. That matters.
But high ankle sprain, 36 years old. Like, we know that the wheels will fall off at some point, and I'm not guessing that it's just happened. I doubt it.
That's why LeBron's missed. How much time has he missed? He's missed 2 months,
like,
right?
It feels like 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just after the All-Star game, so.
I mean, listen, I knew that once that was in high ankle sprain, I was like, oh, we're not going to see LeBron for a long time because, number one, they're going to make sure that ankle is healed. But number two, guess what? It's a blessing in disguise because LeBron and Anthony Davis went hard in the bubble. They won a championship. They came back on 70 days rest. And they are resting their legs. There's no doubt in my mind that those guys are resting their legs. And they're going to come back with fresher legs. So that's why I was like, you're just not going to see. And then when the Lakers didn't crater without both of them, when they didn't crater and when they didn't drop to the sixth spot or drop to the seventh spot, that was like, oh, well, we can rest you a little bit longer. So I expect LeBron to come back for like the last 10 games, as you know, a runway to get your basketball rhythm back and to be, you know, healthy and ready to go for the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Lakers and the Clippers are the two teams in the West. They can win out of any seed. They were the 10th seed. They could go through the play-in and win the West through the play-in.
Well, the fact that the Lakers can defend at the level that they can without LeBron and Anthony Davis, that's something. That's something that most teams don't have.
Right.
I don't think Utah has that.
It's a special... Utah can defend. They're not as good a defender.
Not at the level Lakers. That the Lakers are doing it. Not with their all. Bench guys.
You can see it. I saw it this weekend. You saw it this weekend. Like, their level of ball pressure. Now, eventually the Jazz got to them because the ball movement got to them, and they figured out that Andre Drummond was on the floor. So they just was like, okay. Because in the first half on Monday, you know, the Jazz were just, okay, we're going to run 1-3 pick and rolls, and we're going to run 2-4 pick and rolls. Like, they were running, you know, all kinds of different concoctions and pick and rolls. And the Lakers had, you know, their ball pressure was speeding the Jazz up. But in the second half, they stopped. They were like, okay, we're just going to put Andre Drummond in every single pick and roll that we run. Wherever Andre Drummond switches, we're going to put him in that pick and roll. And that's when the dam broke and the Jazz were able to be as successful as they were offensively in the second half. But when Anthony Davis is on the floor and the Lakers can just switch everything, it becomes a lot different and it becomes a lot harder.
You got me thinking that maybe tanking for the 2 seed isn't that dumb. No, I'm kidding. I mean, that's the series I want to see. I mean, the Nuggets would have been great if Jamal Murray hadn't gotten hurt. And I still think a potential series against the Nuggets would be fun. Will Barton needs to step up into that Jamal Murray role, take on a little bit more usage, I think, for them to really hit what their new ceiling is. But I don't know, if that's the 4-5 game, which it would be right now, it would be Nuggets Lakers. Maybe catching them in the second round is the time to do it, because that first round is not going to be a cakewalk for either team.
Well, the question is how much can the Nuggets bloody the Lakers? Can they extend them to 6? Can they extend them to 7?
I think it'll go 7.
Do the Lakers have to win? Do the Lakers have to go to the Pepsi Center and win a game 7 and then turn around on one day's rest and go to Vivint? While the Jazz, you know, have beaten somebody in 5 and they've been resting for 4 or 5 days. You know, is that the scenario? Because it becomes harder for them if that happens.
Right. I don't know. We're going to find out, I guess, soon.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
So let's talk about our picks. We're not going to run through all these games because it was 2 weeks, but we both went 4-3. Probably our worst 2-week stretch, actually, because
We had an injury, so
yeah, there was an injury, a rest game. Yeah.
Am I still one game behind you or
no, we're tied. We're tied. This thing is going to the wire.
Christ.
We're both 37-18. Not bad. Very respectable. It helps that the Jazz are good. And it's the Wolves and Kings coming up in the next week. I'm assuming we both have 3 wins.
I got 3 wins.
Yeah. So we're looking at like the last 3 weeks of the regular season settling this thing. Actually 2 weeks.
Well, but we have some swing games that are gonna cause dissension. We got Phoenix, we have 2 San Antonio Spurs games. We have 1 Toronto Raptors game where I think both of us could probably see that a little differently. We have 1 Portland game. So we have 4 or 5 games where those might be swing games in terms of.
Well, now I'm going to start digging in, though. I'm going to start looking. I'm going to say, okay, they're playing Toronto, huh? Well, Toronto has no shot at the play-in. So they don't really care. Okay.
They're half a game out of the play-in. They do care.
Well, no, I'm saying at that point, if by that point. I know right now they do. I'm going to start digging in.
San Antonio, we can't do that because
that's hard, right?
Those 10 spots are spoken for because I think New Orleans is 4 games out of the 10th spot right now. So there's no way they're catching up.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to catch them. I mean, now here's the thing. I think that I was about to say, you know how Greg Popovich would be about playing a team right before the playoffs. But with that being said, they're a play-in team. It's not like they're guaranteed to even see Utah in the first round, much less even make the playoffs. So I don't know if that would be an issue or not, but we'll have to see how things are going. But it's pretty tight. I'm kind of surprised that we're this close at this point. You're going to lose, Tony. I hope you know this. And I'm going to be the first person to actually claim the steak dinner. It's going to happen.
Wait a minute. We can do the steak dinner when you're in Salt Lake.
I'm coming. That's right. I'm coming out hopefully for the first round, at least a game or two, and we will do our dinner then. So I hope you're ready. Pick a place.
Where do you want to go?
Well, let's see who hits us up. Hang on. Wait.
Texas
let's we'll put a public call out. Hang on.
Outback.
Tell us the best steak place in Salt Lake City. And if they'd like to sponsor the dinner, even better, because Tony's not going to pay for it, I'm sure. That's going to do it for this week. For Tony Jones, I'm Dave DeFore.
Because I'm going to win.
This has been the Game Notes Podcast, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.